This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, we're going to go to the calls here in just a sec. 888-957-9570. We had referenced a few times what Jimmy Butler said in Dubai. This is from Virgin Radio in Dubai.
Oh.
Okay, check this out now. I think there are a few things to take from this conversation with Jimmy Butler.
My pocket's going to fill it from the taxes, but, you know, the taxes were great in Miami. But I'm so happy over there. Organization's top-notch. Obviously, you know, I get to play with Steph, so I'm a fan of him just like 99.9% of the world. And, you know, a chance of winning the championship, what more can you ask for? And Draymond's on the team.
Me and Draymond
get along quite well.
Yeah.
Play a lot of dominoes.
Fun. It feels like, he's fun as well.
Oh, he's the best. And you don't realize how great he is and to actually get on his team and how smart and how he'll do anything to win. And I respect that the most out of anything. It's all about winning all the time with that dude. I'm learning.
Okay, so that's Jimmy Butler on Virgin Radio in Dubai. And I have a few observations. The first one that comes up, and I totally understand the honeymoon period, but the first one that comes up, remember what we were all told about Jimmy Butler for weeks leading up to the trade deadline. We had malcontent. Okay, we had a report. Jimmy Butler refuses to sign an extension with the Warriors. We had a report that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr were both very concerned about his locker room fit. And then we get this 40-second clip. And I swear to you, it sounds to me like Jimmy Butler's never been happier in his life. I know, 2 weeks. I get it. But at the same time, I don't see how some of those reports that we got 2 weeks ago fit with this. There's no way that all of this was true. It just and I believe that when you're truly happy in your surroundings, my God, you can move mountains. And he needs to. This is a mountain.
Yeah.
This is a big mountain. But if I'm going to believe in anything this year with the Golden State Warriors, it starts with that. It starts with that level of contentment
right,
with the people who are playing.
But we've heard from many people that this is what he does. And our very own cousin Nick Friedell, who is joining Joe Spadoni in the morning all week. Don't miss the morning roast with Spadoni and Friedell. He told us that this is what Jimmy does. Early on in his stint, he's going to be very happy. And everything's both hunky and dory. And there's no problem. And right now, you're 3-1 through four games. And there's no real issue. So of course he's going to be like this. And I'm not trying to be a dismisser or be skeptical about the future, because maybe this is the right fit for Jimmy. He's got a high IQ guy in Draymond and a competitor in Draymond who matches him. And he's got one of the best players in the history of the game who helps make him better. So perhaps this situation is going to be different and better than any other one. But we do know that when Jimmy goes to a new team, this is normally the arc of what happens. It's super blissful. It's great. It's wonderful. wonderful, and then you get to a point where things aren't necessarily as good.
Yeah, I mean, that has been his history some of the time, not all of the time. But at minimum, like this report, Jimmy Butler refuses to sign an extension with the Warriors. No.
Well, until they give him $112 million.
Wrong.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's what the extension was always going to be.
I don't know if that's the case.
I mean, it was, you know what I mean? Like, in other words, whatever the window is for Jimmy Butler, it's somewhere in that neighborhood. That's like doing the Brock Purdy thing now. Is it going to be 60?
You're going to give him $35 million a year, Mark.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be 60. It's going to be 58. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's going to be big. It's going to be a big, old, stinking contract. Same thing for Jimmy. If anybody's going to give it to him, it's going to be big. Right?
Right. Then why would he say he didn't want to sign an extension with the Warriors?
I don't believe that he did.
Right. Well, that was the report.
Right.
So wherever that came from, and you know, we are conditioned to believe reports that come out.
Right. Except for reports are often agents trying to twist things a certain way. I have no doubt that Jimmy did want to go to Phoenix. I'm sure he did. And so that report probably was messaging to the Miami Heat, like, don't you trade me to Golden State. We're not doing that. And so you're letting Golden State know, don't acquire me.
Right.
I'm not assigning anything. And then, of course, you get to a point where it's like, well, Phoenix is off the table.
Yeah, you got one option.
Yeah.
And it's Golden State.
So, yes, I will sign an extension with Golden
State. For $112
million. Yeah, exactly right.
And that's fine. And I do think that is a big part of why he won't be disgruntled, because I think, and I don't know Jimmy Butler, I've never talked to him myself, but for me, this whole thing with Miami was about money. Miami is a winning organization. The Heat culture and, you know, it's a structure where you have the second longest tenured coach in the association behind Popovich. So it's a culture that has been used to winning, and you've been able to win there, and you butt heads with Pat Riley over money. So once it became clear you could get your money here, now it's easy to be like, okay, I got 2.5 years with Draymond, who's a fighter and a winner, and Steph Curry, who's one of the best ever. So it's a little bit easier now to be happy in your situation.
I acknowledge, for sure. And there's more to say on that clip. We'll get back to it in a second. Want to go to the phones, Larry and Lafayette. Yet on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Larry. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking the call. I think you guys are right on track with what I'm feeling. I do think Jimmy Butler is seeing things as peachy and keen to go along with Hunky and Dory.
Thank you.
And I am very worried. I'm very worried that he'll turn in a year or two, but it's a short-term experiment. He is going to help Steph get a little less attention on D. And I agree, by the way, Steph is he's a multi-generational talent. We haven't had anybody close since Rick Barry, and I would argue that Steph is even better. And I put him top three all time. So I don't see Bron as being as good because he's not bringing his teammates along anymore the way he used to. And, you know, Luka, we know he's got his defensive limitations. I don't think there are many people I would choose for the next 2 years to captain my team other than Steph Curry.
Hey, Larry, can I ask you a question?
Hey, top three all time, Larry?
Oh.
I mean,
yes.
It's not crazy.
It's crazy.
It's not. It's
top
really
three
not.
All time.
I mean, he's like...
You can do that's what, bananas.
You can do anything you want with the whole top three, top six, top ten. Like, he is absolutely... First of all, there's no doubt he's top ten. So to me, if someone's top 10, if you want to make him your top three, like most people will have Michael and LeBron and then pick a third. You
right.
can make the case if you want.
I can pick seven and then he might be in that group of seven. And maybe it's because I'm a little bit older and I've seen, you know, basketball going back to the early days of, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic and Wilt and all the rest of it.
I don't want to paint with a broad brush and judge here, but Larry does not sound to be 20 years old. Larry, how old are you?
He's 61.
I am 72 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, I've watched
you
everybody.
You said a minute.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Only Steph Curry changed the game. Although I should say that Kareem changed the game. There was a time when the NBA outlawed dunking. Okay, but Steph
and that was actually Wilt Chamberlain who made them outlaw dunking, but go ahead.
Well, it was a little bit of it was all at the same time because Wilt was dunking for quite a while in the NBA until we had too many guys doing it. And, you know, but I actually, I'm just happy that we got one, that somebody came in and gave us 12 years of excellence and promised us in 2009 they were going to finish this or figure this out on a tweet, and then went and did it. And that's why I put him up as high as I do, because he came from nothing at this franchise. LeBron has moved around and cherry-picked his teams. Even Kevin Durant, since the Warriors, has moved around to two or three super teams, and they just haven't worked out. Steph has found a way to win every time he's been presented with a team that can come close.
Larry, thanks. Really appreciate the call. Those lists. I mean, like, it just becomes kind of what inspires you. And I don't think it's crazy at all to think about the fact that, like, Steph Curry has inspired enough people to start putting him on top five lists. I don't think that's crazy. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, you can put him wherever you want to put him. And, you know, I think if you go outside the market and you go to, you know, people who've been watching the association for a long time, I don't think that you would have a lot of people putting him in the top five.
Wait, do you see? Like, I've watched a lot of clips of this Court of Gold. What do you see what some of the players say about Steph Curry? I mean, you're
some of his teammates
and opponents. Like, I mean,
Nick, other 24-year-olds.
No, like Nick Batum, for example.
Oh yeah,
like he sounds like, forget Michael and LeBron.
Right,
Steph. That's the best player
who's
ever lived.
I'm watching the final 4 minutes of the gold medal game.
Yeah.
And, Nick, you're going to think that because he put one in your eye.
He sure did.
And he stuck one to Yabusele. Because you know what? If you can score on Yabusele, then you got to be top three all time.
I'm not going to let you diminish this. Warrior Wednesday.
Just watch the game, for God's
sakes. Brought to you by
sakes.
Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. All right, there's more to say, though, about the Jimmy Butler thing. First of all, I completely disagree that this guy's going to go sideways. I have less than zero concern about Jimmy becoming a malcontent. That's number one. But number two, the fact that since his arrival, he now becomes the second Warrior star to already start talking about a championship. How does that land with your Warrior fans? It's a little quick. 888-957-9570. We will take your Warrior calls starting now on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait.
5 o'clock, Lucas, is that right? Is that what we're doing? Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Fresh off the golf course.
Right. We'll ask him.
Yeah. Although he's probably back by tomorrow, right?
I would think he's back now.
Or tonight.
Probably
at some point.
Practice tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Right. They might have practice today, for all I know.
Maybe. They should.
I mean, got a game here in 48 hours.
Yeah, good point. I mean, is Jimmy Butler back from Dubai? We know he was live in Dubai.
No, he was not live.
He was on the silly podcast or whatever it
was. Yes. I don't think that happened. I mean, maybe he went out there for the All-Star break. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know when that was recorded. He was there. It was not like over the phone. So I don't know when he recorded it.
Well, if you are...
It obviously was somewhat recent. It was since he joined the Warriors, so maybe he did go out there for last week.
It must have been.
I don't know.
And if you're Jimmy Butler and you have as much money as Jimmy probably does, I don't know his finances by rote.
They're good.
Probably.
Yeah,
when you're
good.
Making that kind of money and you have a game that ends, you can just jump on a private.
For sure.
And be in Dubai and spend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And you could Dubai it up. You could Dubai your way there and, you know, sleep on the plane on your way back and be ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. But I do, like, I would think that Golden State Warriors personnel are back in the Bay tonight. That'd be my guess.
Okay. Well, the game's Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Maybe you're going to get a game coming up. Hey, can I throw these randomness? Quotes from the internet.
Please.
Well, we should almost do this every day. Quotes from the internet.
I like it.
I just want to throw some things at you that I like. Because we sit here during the breaks and I'm scrolling and scrolling and I see stuff that's interesting that I want to throw at you. Paul George, quote, he's talking about the Lakers. I think it's going to work. Thank God the Mark Williams bleep didn't go through. Good luck in the West. It's going to be a nightmare when you play the Lakers, end quote.
Wow. I mean, how badly do you want to go across town and be a Laker, Paul? Like, how thirsty are you?
Well, I mean, that was actually a rumor years ago that he was going to be. He was the biggest hashtag future Laker.
Yeah.
Laker fans were like, oh, and he grew up in L.A. He grew up in L.A. And then it finally got to the point where it was like, actually, he grew up a Clipper fan. And
right.
Then he played for the Clippers. And now he is on the Joel Embiid plan of playing some Sixers games.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't he grow up in Palmdale?
Something like, yeah, like down southeast of L.A., but Southern California.
If you ever get a chance, and we should reach out to this man, Kerry Keating, friend of the station, friend of the program, ask Kerry sometime about recruiting Paul George. I believe Kerry was an assistant at Pepperdine at the time, and he tells a great story. I can't remember if it's on the air or just off the air, about the recruitment of Paul George to Pepperdine and how he wound up in Fresno State.
Fresno State.
Fascinating story.
I mean, but if I listen to this, are we sleeping on that team when it comes to handicapping the Western Conference?
I'm not. I think that they're very dangerous. And we talked about it yesterday. If the Warriors do make it into the offs, as we like to call it, shout out Guru in the offs, I don't want to face OKC or Denver or the Lakers. I'd rather face Memphis, Houston, even the Clippers, because,
I think I'd rather face Oklahoma City than the Lakers.
Interesting. Yeah.
I really do.
Well, and we talked yesterday about, like, who are the most unguardable players for the Warriors when you get into the playoffs? And LeBron is very tough for everyone.
So is Luka.
Luka has been a problem. So if you want to list, like, the top five most unguardable guys in the West, I think you'd say Shea would be one of them. And you could put Jokic, even though Draymond has been not a Jokic stopper, but he's been a Jokic slower.
Well, Jokic is just, he's Jokic.
He is.
This is an unguardable human being.
Correct. So you would go Shea, Jokic, LeBron, and Luka would be four of the top five, and Steph might be the other one.
For a moment, I thought the Lakers might be an easier matchup for the Warriors because Anthony Davis was always the guy that the Warriors had a hard time with.
Yeah.
But he guards himself. By leaving in the second quarter of too many basketball
games. That's true. That's a good way to put it.
All right, before we get back to the Jimmy thing, this is baseball related. I just saw Jeff Passan say this, and I just bless you, Jeff. Thank you. And baseball, wake up. This is the problem. Too many people are talking about what the Dodgers have done and sounding like they're whining and complaining. The Dodgers, they got all the money. And I keep saying, like, what you're actually mad about is either that your team's not doing it, or you're mad at baseball for leaving the door open for a team to do this. I'm not mad at the Dodgers, but there's no way around this dynamic. You can sit here, Dodger fan, till you're blue in the face, talking about how it's legal, they did it, it's within the rules. Sure, not the point. Listen to Passan. This is the point, I think. Quote, What the Dodgers are doing is within the constraints of the collective bargaining agreement. But it's really the feeling of not being able to compete that's harming these teams and harming fan bases more than anything, end quote.
Yeah,
that's what I want everyone to understand. It has no, there does not matter if what the Dodgers are doing is legal or cool or awesome or fair. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is you have left your fan bases across the country going, well, it's February and that's the end of that. You can't do that.
Well, they've been doing it now for the better part of, I don't know, 50 years for most fan bases. The reason why it's now a thing is because it's affecting big market fan bases like the one we have here, the Giants, where now you're a Giants fan and you're thinking, geez, we can't compete with that. And in the past, that feeling was left for Tampa, Minnesota, Detroit, Kansas City, and all of the other small market teams, Seattle and Oakland. Oakland's not small market, they're just small-minded, but you get the point.
Good line.
The teams that refuse to spend or can't spend, they've all felt this forever. But now that it's affecting markets like ours, you know, number five or number six market in the country, now it's a real thing?
The bottom line for me is this, like, and I'll disagree sort of with the way Will Clark said it earlier on our show. And if you missed the Will Clark interview, it was really fun, really good. Odyssey app, YouTube, check it out. But Will said, it reminds me of the old Steinbrenner Yankee days. And so someone's been doing this off and on for a really long time in baseball. And I thought to myself, that's a little different. It's a little different. I'm not, this is different than just, ooh, there's a big bad spender on the block. That's not what this is. It's the deferred payments. Like, the salaries that the Dodgers are handing out, do understand, even they wouldn't be able to do it if they were actually paying guys their salaries this year. But they're not. They're not. They're taking out loans. They're paying people their contracts in the year 2052. Like, that's what's different. And they've done it repeatedly. They've got in upwards of 7, 8, 9 players now on massive deferred payments that now total over $1 billion. And so that's the issue. We're not talking about, ooh, they're flexing their muscle. We're talking about the ability to bring in players and not pay them until they're 68 years old. That's the problem.
Yeah, agreed.
And this is the result. And I hope Major League Baseball hears it. Doesn't matter if it's fair or cool or whatever. The fan bases for other teams think this sucks, and that's going to affect your bottom line because they don't think their team has a chance, and that's going to make them go to the ballpark less.
Exactly, especially when you get to, like, you know, May and June, and you've got the Dodgers who are going to be, you know, 40-11, and the Yankees the same. And I just was struck by what Will said about the Steinbrenner Yankees, and I just went back to 1985, 40 years ago, and the total salary, and forget the numbers. For me, it's about the relativity where the Braves paid, their total payroll was $14.8 million. That was the top payroll in baseball, which now might get you a middle reliever, but that's not the point here. The difference between the number one payroll team and the number 30 payroll team, or 28 at the time, it was about 3 times. So Atlanta was 3 times greater than Seattle in terms of overall payroll. And this past year, the Mets paid $321 million. And last was Miami. They were 7.5 times bigger than Miami. So the numbers aren't the point. It's the disparity. And this year, the Dodgers, if you actually looked at what their real payroll would be, like you're saying, if they had to actually pay...
If you had to pay it.
If you had to actually pay it, the difference between them and the 32nd team would be about 8 or 9 times in a terms of disparity. And so that's where you get a lot of fans saying, well, what are we doing? Like, what's the point if you are Miami or Detroit or Kansas City or Tampa or Pittsburgh or all these other teams, Sacramento? It's hard for me to say that, but they're no longer Oakland. We don't want you, John Fisher.
Oh my God.
You can go ahead and let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
By the way, they're not even going to do that. They're not even going to do a, hey, how you doing to Sacramento. They're just the Athletics.
I thought they were going to be the Sacramento Athletics.
I don't think so.
Or some, I think some outlets were going to refer to them as such.
Outlets, but I don't think, like, you will not see that on their jersey.
Yeah.
They're just the Athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which and now they're finally spending because they left Oakland. I mean, I don't even want to open up that can.
It's so offensive.
The bigger point for me in what you're saying is the disparity. Yep. So you've got three or four teams now that are going to spend more than $350 million on payroll, and you've got five or six teams that won't even sniff $100 million. And so those teams that won't pay for players, unless you hit on like eight low-paid prospects, you've got no chance.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Stupid.
All right, back to Jimmy Butler in 888-957-9570. Okay, we talked about his happiness that you can hear in this quote. But let's rock this thing again so you can hear the other part of it. Again, this is from Virgin Radio in Dubai, Jimmy Butler.
My pocket's going to fill it from the taxes, but, you know, the taxes were great in Miami. But I'm so happy over there. Organization's top-notch. Obviously, you know, I get to play with Steph, so I'm a fan of him just like 99.9% of the world. And, you know, a chance of winning the championship, what more can you ask for? And Draymond's on the team.
Me and Draymond
get along quite well. Yeah. Play a lot of dominoes.
Yeah,
and,
fun. It feels like, I mean, I feel like he's fun as well.
Oh, he's the best. And you don't realize how great he is until you actually get on his team and how smart and how he'll do anything to win. And I respect that the most out of anything. It's all about winning all the time with that dude. I'm learning.
Okay. I love this, but I also laugh at it at the same time. We've learned since LeBron James has come to the league that the way to do this is to pair up, see if you can even get three, right? Whether that's LeBron and Wade and Bosch, or if it's going to be Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen and whatever, if it's going to be Durant coming to the Warriors, for the first time in some time, it feels like Steph Curry has paired up. He's paired up with another true NBA one offensive dog. And so that's great. Yes, they've both had their 35th birthday, so we can tuck that into the conversation, but this whole thing is fascinating to me. They've played four games. Four basketball games.
Yep.
Okay?
3-1.
We have, in four games, two references by star players to championships in very, very public formats already after four basketball games. I'm not mad at it. I'm not here to say that it's not possible or that there's not an avenue or all of these things. But I am here to say that this has to be on some level the honeymoon talking, right? And I do wonder, Warrior fans, how this grabs you. Because we have gone from 2 weeks ago where my sort of straw poll is that most Warrior fans, self-included, were kind of down on this being the trade. Jimmy Butler. Like, a little bit down on it. Then he showed up, and everybody's playing very nice. And then you win a couple basketball games. And predictably, that gets a little bit more positive. But is it me, or have we gotten to the word championship a little quick? A little quick?
No, way too quick. Way too quick. You're the 10 seed. So right now, if the season ended today, which it doesn't, and I get that, but you'd have to win a play-in game to be the 8 seed
and go to
OKC. Yeah. And so you'd have to beat them in a best of seven, and okay, fine. You do the first part of that, which is win two play-in games, and this organization has never won even one play-in game. I believe they are 0-3 in their history in play-in games, but Jimmy wasn't a part of that, so you're the 8 seed. Good job. You go to OKC. They are 25-3 at home this year, so you have to go to OKC and be one of the three teams that actually win a game in OKC, and I think the Warriors might be one of them. Didn't they win in OKC earlier this year?
I think so, they did.
But you have to go there and you have to beat OKC 4 out of 7 times. Okay, you do that, and you become one of the few 8 seeds to ever knock off a number one. Now go beat either Memphis or Denver, and then go beat either the Lakers or Houston, and then go beat Boston. That's a big ask.
November 10th, they won by 11 at Oklahoma City. That was the game in which Chet Holmgren got hurt.
Yep.
And it moved the Warriors' record to 8-2 on the young season.
Okay. Since then, they've gone 20-25.
Correct.
And if you want to take out the Jimmy Butler games, they've been 17-24. And then they got Jimmy, they've gone 3-1.
3-1.
So after that win, they went 17-24 in half an NBA year. 41 games worth of basketball, you were basically not even Portland. You were Portland for the entire half of the year.
Portland can suddenly play. I don't know if anybody notices this stuff.
They're sneaky, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you actually look at what Portland has done the last month, you'll be stunned. You'd be stunned. I know everybody watches NBA at a different level. Some not at all, some a ton, some only watch their team. The Portland Trailblazers have now lost three games in a row. But prior to that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They won 10 of 11.
Mm.
Portland!
Yeah. Portland!
Portland won 10 of 11! So, yeah, man, they are sneaky. That's a good word.
Yeah.
They're young. They're young, and they're starting to figure a few things out.
Well, they're young, and they don't know better. Like, they're young, and they don't realize that they're not supposed to be only 2.5, 3.5 out of the 11th seed. And, I mean, they're 5 back of the 10, which is a lot, but Portland's not thinking, like, this season's over. They're not in tank mode. Like, Utah and the Pelicans, fine. You're done. You've got no chance. You're, like, Portland or Utah, rather, is 14.5 out of the 10 with, 27 to go. You're done.
Actively trying to lose.
But Portland is thinking, all right, we got action.
Yeah, they'll turn a corner a little bit.
I think the Warriors have them two more times.
The Warriors, toward the end, I think you're right. The second to the last game of the year, April 11th.
Yep.
The Warriors will be in Portland, and Portland will be here on March 10th.
Okay. Yep.
They'll be here on March 10th. So,
yeah.
Gonna have to deal with Scoot now.
Well, all of a sudden, those are not like rubber stamp W's anymore.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not. Although, the Warriors, and this is, to tuck this into our conversation, the Warriors have the easiest schedule of any team in the Western Conference. The rest of the
From line. Here on out, yeah.
From here on out.
Okay.
So, for whatever it's worth. But I guess...
Well, for me, it's not worth a lot because what we've seen this year is they lose the games they should win and they win the games we all think they won't win.
But hold on, devil's advocate. Who's they?
Well, the Warriors, but now you got Jimmy.
Yeah, those aren't...
You got Jimmy Butler.
That's not the Warriors anymore.
Well, he's him.
Well, so here's what I would have been comfortable with. This is how I'll say it. If everybody, the minute Jimmy got here and you see four games and they win three of them and even the one that they lost, I remember the way I felt coming out of it. That was a great basketball game. It surprised everybody because Dallas was down so many people, but Kyrie was phenomenal. And I came in the next day and I'm like, doesn't concern me. It's frustrating, but it doesn't concern me. Even in the loss, you could see this is a better team than they were. So I'll grant you that. This is a better team. And I'll say what I've said all week, which is that I am very, very comfortable now that assuming health, this is a playoff team. This is a playoff team. It's wild to me how many people are using championship contention as a phrase right now when talking about Warrior basketball after four games. And, you know, I heard Steiny and Guru earlier today talking about some hypotheticals, and Evan was weighing in. He's like, well, those are irrelevant because they're hypotheticals. And I'm like, well, hold on. Sure, they didn't happen. The Warriors, they are 3-1 with Jimmy Butler. So that's reality. But I do think we have to check ourselves and for instance, ask, how would you feel right now about the Warriors' outlook if they had lost that game in Houston last Thursday night? How would you feel?
Probably a little different. Not a lot different. Maybe a little different.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think people would feel way different.
Well, it depends on how you look at it because the Dallas game was one that they probably should have won. And yes, Kyrie went off and all the rest of it, but that's a game that you should have won. Dallas was undermanned and you went in there against really Kyrie and Klay and not a whole lot else and you lost.
On paper, you should win.
Right. And Houston, you should have lost. So for me, I look at those two and think, You gave one away, you stole one, you went 3-1, so that's fine.
Why do you think they should have lost in Houston?
I think that Houston is, and Houston didn't really play all their guys the whole game, but I look at that being a second half of a back-to-back, and you've got an older team, and you're wrapping up a long road trip. That, for me, is one of those games that I would call a scheduled loss against a younger, more athletic, a defensive-minded team. Yeah. That's one that I would look at. And, you know, if you want to play the schedule game the rest of the way.
No, I mean, they've handled Houston this year. They've handled them.
Yeah, I just didn't like the spot.
I hear you.
End of the first half.
Yeah, I hear you.
Second half of back-to-back, end of a road trip, and still trying to figure out, you know, Jimmy Butler and making him fit and no Kuminga.
No, I get it.
I would have thought that game would have been one you lost.
Yep, I get it. But I like Houston, to me, especially having lost now 7 of 9 games,
yep.
I think they built a record that was a little inflated. Like, they're good. They're good, but they're young. Again, like, that's a team that all things being equal actually could make the case that the Warriors are better than Houston. I know their record is nowhere near as good.
Right.
But I like them against Houston. But anyway, my point is you get to the end of these four games, and that's where my head goes. Like, I think the Warriors are a playoff team. But this was a real quick arrival at now we are championship contenders. And so we wonder where you're at on that. 888-957-9570. Did we get to this conversation a little bit quick? And do you feel like that word should be involved in Warrior basketball right now? We'll take your calls at 888-957-9570 right now on the Warriors and championship contention. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. And you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You're going to the phones in a sec. You want to get talked into a bet?
Guru?
I don't mean between you and me.
No, you can try.
Intel. Hey. I got intel. Quote. Windhorse says that the NBA returns to action tonight. Did you know that?
The NBA?
Yeah. The National Basketball Association. The Lakers are hosting the Hornets.
Association.
Not supposed to be a game tonight, but this is a makeup, I think, of the game that got postponed because of the fires in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Right?
All right.
So, you remember the Lakers traded for Mark Williams.
Yeah.
Mark Williams.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Yeah. Mark with a K.
Right.
John Sally.
He knows how to spell it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway.
Some C.
He was traded to the Lakers. He was going to be their new center. A lot of people were worried about this because he's hurt a lot, but he's talented and he's huge. And this was the Dalton Connect trade. And Williams failed a physical, and it undid the deal. And so you heard Paul George a short time ago in a quote that we told you, said, thank God that fell through. Because he's like, the Lakers would be completely impossible with Mark Williams on the team. But they do not have Mark Williams. And apparently, Dibs, the Hornets are upset. They are none too pleased that Mark Williams has been returned to their roster.
Right.
So.
As would I.
They are planning to unleash the beast on the Lakers tonight.
Mark Williams.
Mark Williams.
They're going to unleash Mark Williams.
Unleash the beast.
The man who failed a physical. They're going to unleash him on LA.
Correct. Because their point, I think, is to show Mark is not hurt.
Mm.
He should not have failed your physical. Watch how healthy he is. Brian Windhorst says this is a Mark Williams revenge game, and you can expect a, quote, huge diet of Mark Williams tonight against the short and tiny little Lakers.
Okay. Wow.
So go ahead and get into your underdog app.
Okay.
And apparently take the over on all things Mark Williams.
I love it.
Yeah.
Get it in.
There you have it.
Mark Williams, let Mark eat, and eat he will.
We'll find out. Yeah,
I'm going to eat it.
That game's a couple hours away.
That one's a little bit curious to me that,
Which one?
The fact that he got traded and everything seemed fine, and then he failed a physical,
yeah,
and yet now he's able to go out there and play. Like, what about his physical was not good where he just played? And I'm looking at his game log, and he played 32 minutes on the third. He played 25 minutes on the fifth. And
well, it's up to the Laker team doctors.
Right.
They can fail him all they want. It can be based on something they see that they think is going to happen down the road.
I get it.
That's what the Giants did with Carlos Correa.
Right. Well, he had actual foot issues, he had previous injuries that maybe they thought were going to rear their ugly head.
I mean, the story goes that, yes, they thought that this was worrisome based on a 13-year contract. And then the Mets agreed. And then the Twins signed him, and he played baseball.
Right.
Right away.
Yeah, and he did miss time that first year. And then last year, I don't think he missed much time at all.
He missed time, but wasn't
a different injury.
Very beginning. So, like, you know, to the point of, like, can you fail a physical and then play right away? Yep, sure can.
Right. So, I just...
Anyway.
If I'm Charlotte, I would be mad, too, because for me, if I'm Charlotte and I can get Dalton Connect, I think he's a good young player, a guy who fits in the NBA, a guy who, on the right team, can go out there and get you 18 to 20 a night just by being a good shooter.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think that's why they're upset. So they're going to take it out on the Lakers.
Mark Williams revenge game.
I
love it.
And then here's the other thing about this that I just saw someone say that's kind of interesting with regard to what you're going to get is a full-bore LeBron and Luka pairing tonight. And they're saying, you know, this is actually probably the first time in the career of LeBron James that the best defender on the other team will not be guarding him.
Wow.
It's kind of a scary way to look at
totally,
it.
Totally, right?
Don't you think?
Yep.
I mean, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. And now the second best defender is going to face him.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, you talk about a 40-year-old LeBron and a 25-year-old Luka and what LeBron has become. He can still finish at the rim. He can post you up. He can do everything that he wants. But he's become a very good and most reliably three-point shooter. So now you got Luka who can get down there in the block with his ponderous back-to-the-basket, sort of slow, dribble game, and you're going to go ahead and try and double him because you have to, and now you leave LeBron open outside. LeBron's become a bit of a knockdown shooter from out there.
Said doing good this year. Yeah, absolutely. So I am really in on the dust settling in the Western Conference. And the Warriors are absolutely one of the flagship franchises of this conversation. So are the Lakers. Those are the two teams that I think people think have improved the most. The other teams that I have my eye on, though, are certainly, for instance, the Dallas Mavericks. What happens with them now with no Anthony Davis for a period of time? The first team the Warriors will see Friday night, the Sacramento Kings are another one as they try to figure out their wobbly season and do it without De'Aaron Fox. And then I also have eyes on the Phoenix Suns. Are they ever going to win a basketball game ever again? Like emotionally crumbling. So, I know someone who works for the Suns who just made plans in May.
Oh, really? Not April?
Maybe.
I mean, that'd be aggressive.
Plans have been made in May.
Yeah?
Like,
I mean,
this person was not willing to make those plans a month ago, and now this person is like, sure, in May? Yeah, probably going to be available.
Right. Well, they've lost 7 of 10.
Yeah, they're done.
They're the 11th seed, and they're not really threatening, even though Sacramento is coming back, and so the 10th seed is not out of the question.
Oh, for Phoenix?
Right.
It's not out of the question, except for the fact that they, like, they're falling apart, and nothing, this is what's crazy, nothing changed. You have the same roster that you had.
Right.
You were one of the preseason Western Conference favorites. And then you were not great, but you were, you know, 3, 4, 5 games over 500. And then what happened at the deadline? Nothing. Nothing. You still
have. A lot happened.
Right. But roster-wise, nothing. You still have your three incredibly high-priced stars. But you watch them and you're like, oh, my God. Like, they're a shadow. So anyway, I'm really, really dialed in here the next few weeks to see how the Western Conference looks. And it feels like Warrior fans think that they're going to start going firing up the board. And to a degree, I think they will. I don't know about firing too far up the board, but do you feel like it's too early to start putting the word championship into the mouths of the Warrior players and their fans, which we're hearing all over the place? And I guess the other side of that is if you were against the Jimmy trade, have you already changed your mind?
Well, yes, and I also do think that it's too early to talk about championships, but they're putting it in their mouths. And that's where I'm thinking about taking my cues from them because Draymond declared that we're going to win it, and then Jimmy Butler, live from Dubai, or recorded from Dubai, whenever that was, he's talking about the same idea. So me as a fan, I'm just taking my cue from them. If they think that Draymond thinks that, yes, we are going to win it, and he had to say it with his chest because he got called on the carpet, and Jimmy from Dubai saying, yeah, championship, it's on our mind. If that's what they're thinking, then me as a fan, Mark, I feel like I can take that cue and not be, you know, totally wild over my skis over the idea because they think it's a reality, so why can't I?
You can do whatever you want. Chris in Fairfield here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Chris, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? I was calling you on my way home from work, but unfortunately, I am now home with all my four kids, so I'm going to make this really, really quick.
Wait a minute, Chris. Wait a minute. How old are the four kids? No, how old are the four kids?
So my oldest is sitting right here. She's Jordan. She's 15.
Okay.
My nine-year-old, my youngest, and he's upset that I brought home mascarpone cheese, the Scotties, actually like some chicken fingers. So he's really bummed out laying on the couch. And okay. Then I actually haven't seen two. They're running around here somewhere. Literally just walked in the door. That's all.
Well, we're honored that you took your phone inside and didn't hang up. And hello to all four of the kids. Please be nice to Dad. He's working his butt off for crying out loud. Chris, go ahead.
Thank you. I was raised in the era of Michael Jordan. And if you were to tell me that on the Wizards that they're definitely a playoff team, my fandom would have gotten to the fact that, you know what, there's a chance. And that Jordan wasn't nowhere near what Steph Curry is right now. Steph Curry is still putting up the same numbers, if not better, when he was winning championships. So if you're going to tell me you guarantee that you believe that they're a playoff team, well, then I don't know anybody else in the NBA besides Michael Jordan that I feel more comfortable with in the last 10 to 15 years than Steph Curry in a playoffs winning a championship. And that's what I'm saying. If you were to tell me that if Phil Jackson decided to coach the Wizards team and they were going into the playoffs, you wouldn't like their chances?
Yeah. I mean, Chris, go ahead.
And that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And I just wanted to put that out. That's why the fan base is actually believing there's a chance. We get ourselves in there. Who's going to beat us? So, I know the Lakers, you know, who's going to beat us?
So we'll address your point, but before you hang up, I want you to hold your phone up so that as many of your kids as possible can hear what we're saying. Can you hold it up? Maybe put it on speaker or something?
Okay. Yeah, no, you've been on speaker this whole time. My daughter
All right, perfect. So, yeah, here's all I want to say to your four kids. Hey, Chris's kids, how you doing? My name's Mark. This is my friend Dan over
here. Hi, kids.
Yeah, we do a show together. We have a rule in this world, no matter what you think about sports, no matter what you think about anything, when Dad brings food home, you say thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
All right, Chris. One of them said thank you. Bye, Chris. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Dad, mascarpone? What even is that?
What are we talking about?
Right.
Dad's working all day, brings home food, and the first thing he gets is, I don't want that. Sorry if that triggered
Dad,
me a little
bit. I told you to bring cheese. What's mascarpone? I don't even know what that is. It's not cheese. Where's the cheddar? Where's the jack?
It's a little too close to home, all right?
I get that.
All right?
Yeah. What? I mean, I'm getting pushback from a 2.5-year-old. So
well, that's different.
No, it's actually very similar.
When they're two,
right?
You know.
So you ask her in the morning.
Mess around so you can find out.
What do you want for breakfast? And she says, "Have a bagel. Have a bagel. All right." And you make a bagel. It's I want eggs. It's like whoa. Let's go back 3 minutes ago. Short term memory.
Yeah.
I don't want a bagel. I don't want it.
Yep.
But you said you wanted a bagel. You want French toast? Have it French toast. Whatever happened to have it bagel? Yeah, so it's all the same.
And that's how you end up fat when you have a little kid.
Fat?
Because you make a bagel, and then they don't want the bagel. What are you going to do with that bagel?
Oh, I'm not throwing it out, dog.
I'm going to eat it.
No doubt.
I'm going to eat it. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.